It's KCSN with Nick Harcourt. We're talking to Britt and Alex. First of all, thanks for coming in and playing for the good folks here in the Valley at KCSN.
It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you. I think I can't remember the last time I saw you. I don't think it was a Spoon record. It was on your other project, right?
I remember being in here once before.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. It seemed, yeah, it was years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you back. Alex, I've never met you before, but
you
have a great Australian accent.
Thank you.
Well done. So let's talk about it. It's the ninth album, which, gosh, when you look at it like that, did you ever think you'd make nine records?
What I did think was what I wanted to do with my life was make records. So that didn't seem... That'd been good if someone told me that we would have been able to do that.
Right. You know?
But when I started the band, I had been in a band, three bands over the 4 years prior. So I didn't really have any idea how long this would last, you know. That I didn't expect.
I was talking to another musician the other day, Fran Healy, actually, from the band Travis, who I think you know. And he was saying, yeah, when I set out, I knew I wanted to do 12 albums. And I was like,
you knew?
He was like, yeah. And I was like, how many in are you? He was like, nine. I was like, how are you getting along with the rest of the guys?
Right.
So, but he had a specific thing that he wanted to do 12 albums. You've had a number of incarnations, obviously, and various side projects. But let's jump into this album and let's talk to Alex a little bit as well.
Sure.
When you guys set out to make this one, well, first of all, where did you make it?
We made half of it upstate New York with Dave Fridman, and then when we weren't able to work with him, we would go work on it by ourselves in Austin at Jim's studio.
Right.
Drummer.
So, Alex, you joined the band 4 years ago. You're on the last album,
right?
And I know that obviously, when you join a band that's already been around for a while, you have to sort of find your place.
Right.
How long did that take? And by the time you came around to making this record, second Spoon album, how involved were you?
How long did it? It didn't take too long. I felt like everyone was pretty gentle with me.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of gave me some space.
I've seen Alex come twice into bands that were sort of established, and both times he maneuvered it very deftly.
Thank you. You know? Yeah, you kind of got to figure out like where you can fit in the roles that are already established a little bit.
Talk about Dave Fridman, who's just done some of the most genius records that I've listened to, I think, over the years. I'm a huge fan, from the Mercury Rev days to the Flaming Lips and everything else in between, Sparkle Horse.
Yeah, he's done so much good stuff.
What's your relationship with him?
I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
He we tried to work with Dave for many years when that record The Great Destroyer by Low came out in the mid-2000s. I just was blown away by the strength of that record. And then he did that Embryonic record by the Flaming Lips, which I was obsessed with for a while. And I had friends that were working with him. So I was, for years, trying to get him to be able to be available for a week or 2 weeks or something, or an album or a single. And it didn't come together. But finally, for the last one, we got him. But when between the last one and this one, we came to Buffalo one time and played a show, and he was there. He's like, guys, I just want to let you know, if there's any question, that I really want to do this record. And, you know, that was a totally different experience. Like, we had been chasing him for years, you know. This time he wanted to do it. So that was good. It was good to have that in our back pocket.
In my mind could be your accent mixing with mine. You got me uptight, twisting inside. Hot thoughts all in my mind and all of the time, babe. Hot thoughts all in my mind, all of the time, yeah. Thoughts all in all of my mind all of the time.
Your teeth shining so white, light up this sad street and Shibuya tonight. Hot thoughts melt in my cool. Is it your motion signaling cues? Hot thoughts all in my mind and all of the time. You must be in trouble for sure. Hot thoughts all in my mind, all of the time, yeah. I tell it to you slow when I want you to know. Hot thoughts all in my mind, all of the time. Time off from my kingdom, took a break from the war. Took time off from my kingdom, raise up my creatures, diamonds from space, pure facets and features. Last drag, drop from your lips, making you think how good it was to let baby kiss on my nose. Hot thoughts melt in my cool. Is it you? Motion, a signal and cues you got. Hot thoughts all in your mind, all of the time, yeah. I'll hold it to my rhyme, make it you mine, yeah. I think all your love is enough.
When we last spoke, it was on the Divine Fits album. That's when you were here.
Uh-huh.
How different is it coming back to Spoon with the songs? Because I remember when I was talking to you, I'm just sort of flashing back now to the Divine Fits album. You were saying that there were songs that you didn't want to record as Spoon songs. And that's, they found themselves in the Divine Fits
right.
album, which was obviously a collaboration as well. But when you come back to Spoon after doing something like that, what did that experience bring?
Mostly just brought, you know, it made me aware that you got to have fun first and foremost. And at the end of the Spoon record before Divine Fits, it started out pretty fun on that tour. And then by the end, the second half, we were not having as much fun. And so what I realized with Divine Fits was that you can be in a situation where everybody really wants to be on stage and is loving being up on stage. And now that I've seen that, I will not accept anything else, you know? and a lot of the problems that we'd had in Spoon before Divine Fits were mine. So I just, when we came back together, I was like, look, here's what I did wrong. You know, I know that we gotta have fun. And if everybody doesn't want to be here and it's just like a paycheck or money or whatever, you know, then we just shouldn't do it, you know. There's no reason for it.
But you're the songwriter. You're the guy who really sort of pulls it all together.
Right.
It's really on you at the end of the day, though, isn't it? Depending, you know, on who you choose to have around you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a lot of things are my responsibility. Yeah. I
sure.
Mean, yeah.
So going into this with the songs as a guy who has evolved a little bit, it seems like, through the process of doing something else, where were you at coming into it with the songs and the songwriting?
I felt great working on this record, and I knew from the beginning we were onto something really good. I felt like we were coming up with some songs that went in directions we definitely had never gone before, and I felt like the ones that, even the songs that were sort of pop songs were... more evolved and more, you know, I don't know how you'd say it, maybe soundscapey, a little more right. futuristic or right. something. I felt real good about it all along. And having Alex there was a big part of that. Alex shaped the record quite a bit.
So tell us about that, Alex.
Well, Britt and I started working on some songs together, I think, at the top of making this record. We got together at South by 2015. And we just started working on songs that he had mainly written on like acoustic guitar and stuff, and trying to figure out approaches of how to bring them into a different world.
Yeah, because we didn't want to have an acoustic guitar album. We wanted it to, we didn't want to do a rootsy one or an old-fashioned record this time, you know.
So what did you want to do? Because you mentioned just a minute ago that you went in directions that you'd never gone before.
I'm not sure if we could have defined it in a specific word at the time, but looking back now, we've said that we wanted something that was more futuristic. And there was a song on the last Spoon record called Inside Out that was sort of, it was sort of soundscapey, but it also had a big beat, and it was overall a pop song. And that was my favorite song on the record. It was my favorite song for us to do live. And so when we started working on this new one, I think we sort of instinctively knew this was the right direction. It didn't have any guitars on it, that song, and it was just a fantastic song. I think that kind of set a path.
Down a long dark road, same place where we used to go, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue, feeling cut off from everyone. Yeah. Do I have to tuck you into it? To make sense of it, when alone you sit a long, long time, and we never had to act polite. I wanna whisper down a tube all the words you will ever use. Do I have to tuck you into it? Jimmy digs in his long dark coat, comes up with a tender throat, and he hides it away in Bronson Park, so he can't get to it after dark. Do I have to talk you into it? To make sense of it, we say I better seal you up in wax so that you're never gonna bite me back. And I can feel it when I'm away. I got to get back tomorrow, if not today, to try to talk you into it. Everybody faded me, even my mom, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue, feeling cut off from everyone. Do I have to talk you into it? Do we have to talk you into it? Well, here we go down a long dark road. Been here, man, many times before. And I wanna whisper down the tube all the words you would never use. Do I have to talk you into it? Do I have to talk you into it? Do I have to talk you into it? Do I have to talk you into it?
I think we talked about this last time I met you, but we're talking about the shift in how music is consumed, how people listen to music now. People don't buy music so much. Obviously, that makes it difficult for artists to get out there and make a living. Touring becomes such an increasingly important part of what people do. There's income that comes from streaming, obviously, but it's not like if you, you know, were able
had
to
sold the records.
Yeah, able yeah. to, you know, have a gold record or a platinum record 10 years ago or whatever. What are the challenges for a band today like Spoon? Clearly, you've been around a while, you're established, you've got a fan base, but what are the challenges for a band like Spoon to get out there and play and make a living?
Well, yeah, you don't have that. Certainly the income stream of recorded music is not as great as it used to be. But to me, the biggest challenge is the fact that when people don't own records and they know that they can access them at any record at any time, it's cool. And I use those services too. And I understand it's not going back. But there's a sort of different relationship that you have than for instance, that I had with my 10 albums that I owned in middle school.
As a fan.
Yeah, the fan, right. And so I think that it's you're dealing with fans that have different relationships with the music, and you got to find ways to help. You got to find ways and reasons that you're significant. I mean, we're trying to do that with a super high quality record, you know. But I guess probably everyone thinks they're doing that. Yeah, it's just a different relationship.
And then what about the cycle of making a record and touring it? How has that shifted? I mean, you're here today in the middle of a whole bunch of press and setup and all that kind of stuff. How has that changed?
Well, I think that the cycle between albums seems to be getting longer and longer. You know, when that's the way that bands and musicians make their money, then they end up doing that longer. Then it takes longer to be in a place where you're ready to record another album, and then, you know, the whole thing just stretches out. I guess it just means less albums over time. You know, you look back at the output of some of my favorite bands in the 60s or even the 80s, you know, when The Cure was putting out an album every year, you know, or Depeche Mode was putting out an album every year. And a lot of those guys, even in the 80s, Prince was putting out a record every single year, you know, and he probably would have put out more if they would have let him. But that just doesn't happen anymore.
What about the other things that you do? You mentioned different ways of making music and soundscapes and working without guitars. Yeah. Are you entering to other fields like television or composing or that kind of stuff?
No, I did a movie soundtrack of a few years back, but I haven't done any of that recently. I get asked to every now and then, but you know, it's the timing is an issue.
But I'm guessing that licensing songs into things like that is a big part of how a band makes a living these days as well, right?
Yeah, it's a big way to get your music heard. I mean, there is no MTV blasting videos. There's sometimes it's hard to get played on the radio, and so that's another way to reach people.
I got nowhere.
It's Rainy Taxi from Spoon, and we're happy to have you here playing for us. Nice to meet Alex. Thanks, Britt, for coming in. It's 88.5 KCSN. At the top of the hour, Jim Nelson. Have a fabulous day. Keep it simple.